Your Steve Jones Show podcast is loading now. The Steve Jones Show podcast is sponsored by Sunbury Motors, North 4th Street in Sunbury, and Sunbury Motors Kia, routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf. Sports talk where your voice counts. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now, from the Sunbury Motors Studio, here's Steve Jones.
Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury. Sunbury Motors, Key Routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf. Kevin has been driving another great Sunbury Motors vehicle this week.
Driving a 2016 Hyundai Elantra Value Edition. What they did with this particular vehicle for the 2016 model year, and this is brand new, literally just off the trailer, or not just off the truck. They have added a sunroof, they've added the backup camera, heated seats, they've also added a great feature on the driver's side mirror on the door that has a blind spot mirror, lots of great safety features, the fantastic Hyundai warranty that is available as well, and all of this right now, less than $18,000. You can finance it for, you know, less than $250 a month, as a matter of fact, without having a whole ton of money down. So if you're looking for a brand new vehicle with a full warranty and still have some of the luxury items that you would expect from a much, much more expensive vehicle, you do not have to settle for the base model. You can settle for the 2016 Hyundai Elantra Value Edition, available from Sunbury Motors Hyundai, that's in the North 4th Street Auto Plaza in Sunbury. See more details on my Facebook page. Follow me on Twitter at Kevin Herr. And, of course, go to sunburymotors.com.
All right. And, again, by the way, just a quick note for you that there's a traffic tie-up due to a vehicle accident on routes 11 and 15 southbound near Monroe Marketplace. So we just want to make sure that you're aware of that as you travel around the area. So we'll do that. But the NBA draft does come up tomorrow. I've never been big on the foreign player in the draft, only because I'm so used to seeing what the competition is like on this level. You get a feel as to who can and can't play. I'm not quite sure what the competition is on a daily basis, unless it's a world championship. It's not as if foreign players have not excelled in the NBA. Dirk Nowitzki, Šarūnas Marcelionis, obviously Manu Ginobili, Arvydas Sabonis could have been an outstanding NBA player. I think there are certain players like that that do stand out to you that make a difference for you along the way and certainly become definite. There's a couple of guys that are going to be in the top 10 of this draft.
Do you
see guys definitely in this draft?
Do you see Kaminsky being in the top 10? I mean, there's one guy that I actually got a chance to see in person, and it was not a great game for him, so I wasn't overly impressed. I've seen him on TV a couple of times, and you know, being 7 foot helps out a lot, but it just seemed to me, and again, basing it only on just a handful of times seeing him, he always seemed to be slow up and down the court.
Probably 10 to 15. Is what he'll end up in. Expect him tomorrow night to be in the 10 to 15 range. The first Big Ten player off the board is going to be D'Angelo Russell. And I think Russell is a 2, 3, or a 4. No lower than that.
Yeah, he's
he goes high as 2, could go as low as 4.
I've seen him projected to go to the Sixers if the Sixers decide not to trade that pick.
There was a lot of talk last week because he was scheduled to work out for the Sixers and did not. And thus, that started fueling a lot of rumors that he was going to go to the Los Angeles Lakers and that was a done deal. And that's not the case. There is actually a reason why he did not work out for the Sixers last week. And it's the fact that he was sick and had a fever, and thus they had to postpone the workout. Pretty simple. Okafor is an interesting player. I think there's no doubt in my mind that Minnesota, with the first overall pick, will take Karl Anthony Towns out of Kentucky. Towns is an inside-out player, versatile, brings a lot to the table that you can work with, and I think he's the guy that's going to be picked first. Okafor is a very interesting pick. Okafor is the classic back to the basket guy that can make a lot of plays. He is very skilled with his post moves and has a variety of them. He has excellent hands. A big problem for several big men along the way is they have a tendency to not have great hands. They drop the ball. When they drop the ball, the timing of the entire play is ruined. And also the fact that you can now be an easier double team target because you drop the ball and allow the double team to get there. He has excellent hands. You throw the ball in the paws, get the ball. Simple as that. And he also has excellent footwork. Facing up to the basket, improving, but not there yet. And the other part in all of this, and this is the biggest weakness he has by far, he couldn't defend you.
That's not good.
And he is not a good defender.
I have no shot, no speed, no jump, no rebounding.
At least it's an honest assessment.
It is. You know, you were talking about Towns at Okafor. I mean, that's obviously, by a lot of people, the debate at number one for Minnesota. And reading earlier today, it looks like Saunders a big Okafor fan, but they've come around a little bit on Karl-Anthony Towns, and they feel as though he might fit better at power forward.
Towns has only worked out for one team, Minnesota. We're done.
Game, set, match.
The only team he's worked out for.
Now, we talked briefly about trades last half hour, the Lakers being discussed as one of those teams that would trade out of two.
Yeah, well,
I mean, would that? Do you see that happening? Right. Let me ask you that first off.
DeMarcus Cousins is labeled as a star in this league. All right. It's very much like going back to the 30s and 40s in movies, where there were stars, and then there were those who were the stars of the B movies. Stars of the B movies didn't win the Academy Awards. Cousins is the star of a B movie. He doesn't have enough to be a star on the A level, on the A list. The Sacramento owner, when I heard about this, made me start thinking of you as an owner.
Why, is he owning with his heart and not with his wallet?
Yes.
I gotcha.
He does not want Sacramento to trade DeMarcus Cousins. Does not want to trade him. George Karl, who, by the way, has been around the block and knows the game, wants to trade him. He wants to trade him. And the owner doesn't want to trade him. Now, what have I said many times? In today's era, it was one thing back in the 70s and 80s to become attached to players. Jack Lambert, Jack Ham, Andy Russell, hey, Terry Bradshaw, Lynn Swan, John Stallworth, Mel Blount. L.C. Greenwood, Joe Green, what did they all do? They played their entire careers with the Steelers, thus you could become really attached. Easily attached. Mike Schmidt played his entire career with the Phillies. Easily attached. Yeah, some of you get traded once in a while. But you had players that were there long term. Bobby Clark was always a Flyer. But today, you can't become too attached. Attached to the team, sure. But attached to players, I think it's awfully hard today. And when the owner becomes attached, Robert Kraft is a fan who bought his team. He bought the New England Patriots. He built the stadium out of his own money. You see Gillette Stadium? That is his baby. He built it. The only thing he asked for was $72 million in infrastructure from the state legislature after balking initially. They then acquiesced and redid Route 1. Okay. But he doesn't run the team like a fan. He looks at Bill Belichick and says, okay, what do you think you need to do for us to keep winning? And he does. They let go of players. They move forward. You can't run the team like a fan. It's great to be a fan owning a team, but you can't run the team like a fan. Can't get to attach to guys. You've got to make some moves that you think are going to make you better to get you someplace. And getting someplace is getting to where Golden State is. Okay? Not to where New Orleans is. That's what you're trying to do. And that's why there's a lot of talk there may be some trades. Celtics have four draft picks in this thing. They may make a trade because they have so many draft picks.
Steve, some baseball news coming out of Philadelphia. The Phillies are reportedly planning to name Andy McPhail as their top baseball decision maker within the next week or so. The expected title would be possibly the new team president or something along that line.
Well, he's a good baseball man. Your guy Chase Utley is on the DL.
Was it an ankle?
Well, it's a costly $15 million ankle. Utley, if he were to get to 500 plate appearances this year, the $15 million deal would automatically kick in.
You know, didn't Wheels say something about this a couple of weeks ago when you were talking to him? He was alluding to the fact that Chase Utley is the type of player that you kind of think something's wrong with him because of the way he's playing, but he will never tell you when something's wrong.
Right. And there are a lot of guys that are like that. You know, the guys that really want to play. He's one of those guys, really wants to play. And so because of that, but that doesn't matter. He's not even remotely, I mean, look, he's way off this year. It's more than just an ankle. He's way off. And that $15 million rider is not going to kick in. Cole Hamels, meanwhile, the Rangers continue to talk with the Phillies about Cole Hamels. Look, I mean, Cole Hamels is a guy a lot of people are going to want. You want guys that have shown when the money is on the table, which I talk about repeatedly. You hate when I talk about that. But guess what? The season is about October. The season is not about June. June sets up October. Right? October is when Madison Bumgarner steps up, when Cole Hamels steps up, when Roy Halladay steps up, when John Lester steps up. For example, you're a Pittsburgh Pirates fan. Right? How comfortable are you handing Francisco Liriano the ball in October? Very. Probably very comfortable with handing the ball to Gerrit Cole. How comfortable are you handing the ball to A.J. Burnett? History says that most managers that have handed A.J. Burnett the ball in October have found religion as the game has gone. Oh, God, please, please, oh, God.
I also think that if Cole Hamels plays well tonight against the Yankees may take a little closer look. They've been looking at Cole Hamels.
this is a known entity, Kevin. Anybody that is interested is interested. They know what they're getting. Everybody knows what he is. This is not a mystery guy.
Well, but as we've said many times,
let's take a closer look at him tonight and see if he's still Cole Ham.
Let's see if he pitches really well against us.
Okay. I walked out there. I looked at him facially. It appears to be him.
It looks like Cole from the side. Well, here's the big problem. He's guaranteed, what, $86 million through this contract, which ends in the 18th season. He has like 12 and a half on this year, 22 and a half on his contract as well, plus another 22 and a half annually from 16 to 18.
Right. Yeah, he's got a lot coming to him. We will come back with more in a moment on News Radio 1070 WKOK. This year marks Sunbury Motor Company's 100th year in business, and we will be keeping the same tried and true values we've had ever since we opened our doors, guaranteeing your car buying experience will be smooth and hassle-free. No spinning a wheel for specials you don't need or want. No pushy sales staff pouncing on you as soon as you arrive. No sideshow yelling. Since we began back in 1915, we have strived to be your most trusted friend when it comes to all of your new car needs, whether that's in sales or service. We strive to offer you as many viable options as we possibly can. Sunbury Motor Company always carries a line of few other auto dealers in our area can compete with. With our inventory of Ford, Hyundai, Kia, and Lincoln vehicles, there should be no problems with finding the right vehicle to fit your needs. Our friendly and trustworthy staff is knowledgeable in all of our products and stand ready to answer all of your questions and meet all of your needs. In honor of 100 years in business, SMC is introducing the all-new Auto Club, where Sunbury Motors will pay you for every mile you drive. Be sure to ask us about our Auto Club benefits. Sunbury Motors in the North 4th Street Auto Plaza and at sunburymotors.com, proudly owned by the Mertz family since 1915. All right, so Chase Utley doing whatever he can to not be traded. Just kidding. He's on the DL, and he's going to be there for a little while. He will not get to 500 plate appearances this year in all likelihood, which will keep the $15 million section of the contract from automatically kicking in.
I don't think he'll be looking for supplemental income this winter because of it. I think he'll be fine.
I think he will be too, but he won't get $15 million. They're in bad shape, and everybody knows it.
That might be the understatement of the year.
Even they know it. Even they know it. So,
and by the way, I think today's game is has today's game already completed? That was
it's almost done.
That's an afternoon game that's done. Oh, it was close.
Done now.
Yeah, Yankees won at 10-2. It was close. Cole Hamels gets the loss. I guess the Yankees may not want him now.
No, they don't want him.
They don't want him now.
Yeah. Yeah, I think there are a variety of things that you look at when you're looking at what's his velocity, what's his location. He's actually pitched pretty well. I mean, I don't think you can doubt he hasn't pitched well. He has.
Five innings today, five earned runs, three walks, struck out three. But against Pittsburgh, in a no decision, went seven innings, gave up, this was on the 14th, gave up four hits, a walk, and 12 strikeouts.
Yeah. Yeah. So,
other finals today, Steve. Minnesota beat the White Sox 6-1. Toronto wins over Tampa 1-0 in 12.
Well, that was a game where Marco Estrada had a perfect game for 7 1/3. Still scoreless. You're like, holy cow.
Which would you rather see? Would you rather see a game scoreless into extras, or would you rather see like a 2-2 game or something like that? Which is more interesting as a fan paying to sit in the seats?
Really matters.
I don't know. I mean, as much as now, throw the perfect game no hitter stuff away. I mean, I'm not that. Let's say that's not possible. But which would be more interesting, a nothing game going into extras, or just a 2-2 game or 3-3 or whatever?
Yeah, they're both in extra innings. I don't think it really matters. I mean, at that point, just score. What's the difference?
if it's a low scoring game either way, then that wouldn't matter to me.
Let's see. Cleveland beat Detroit 8-2. And still going on. Top of the fourth, Houston and the LA Angels scoreless through three. Later on tonight, Atlanta, Washington, Cincinnati at Pittsburgh. Baltimore will be at Boston. St. Louis at Miami, the Dodgers and the Cubs. Oakland at Texas, the Mets taking on Milwaukee. Arizona at Colorado. Kansas City at Seattle, San Diego, San Francisco round out the schedule.
And the NBA draft is tomorrow. Looking forward to that. Again, you can't change it around. DJ Newbill, possibly a second-round pick. But again, there's a new NBA draft. There's a new college basketball proposal dealing with the draft that they will officially vote upon in January. It is a proposal I completely agree with. Allow players to not hire an agent, but to go through the NBA pre-draft combine in May in Chicago. Then make up their mind after talking with NBA people about where they might fit into the draft. The NBA people are not going to blow smoke. They have no reason to. If they think you're the between 25 and 30, you're between 25 and 30. If they think you're between 45 and 60 or a free agent, they'll tell you. There's no need for them not to tell you. And then they can make up their mind as to whether or not to roll the dice and go into it or come back for another year with the added knowledge from NBA people of what they think they need to work on to then make the next step up.
Taking your calls at 800-795-9565. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now from the Sunbury Motors Studio, here's Steve Jones.
Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury. Sunbury Motors, Key Routes 11 to 15 in Hummel's Wharf. We were talking about it earlier. Hey, you really can't be an owner and a fan. You'd be a fan that owns the team, but you have to then turn over the reins to the people who know what they're doing, who are the professionals. Kevin would love to own a team, but he would be a bad owner because he becomes too emotionally attached. It's not a put down. There's nothing wrong with that at all. It's just that's a fact. And you know you would be.
No, I don't know. Question about it, I would be. I have enough trouble owning a fantasy team and not taking players I like.
Glad you brought up the fantasy part. I want to get into that for a moment on the Pete Rose thing. Years ago in, I want to say Vanity Fair, Buzz Bissinger caught up with Tommy DeNosa. He was one of the associates of Pete Rose. Met him in New Bedford, Massachusetts years ago, and eventually became close, friends. All right. And one of the things that in this article is about Rose using a corked bat as he was pursuing Ty Cobb. Now, Rose is in his early 40s at this point, early to mid-40s, age, the whole thing. Just added to it. But it also brought me back to Rose as the manager and how you react to things. Well, he bet on his team to win. All right. So I talked about the misuse of players. Here's the next part. How mad do you get at players that don't produce for you, and what do you do to them? Do you bench them? If you're managing in a normal way, you might exercise patience. Everybody has to overcome their own natural reactions, their own natural tempers. We understand that. But
let's take it. When money is on the line, you have different emotions. Let's now dumb this down to the lowest common denominator of wagering, but at the same time, throw it in the lap into which you would understand, you the fan. How many of you out there have a fantasy baseball or football team? A number of you do. Kevin, you do. You're in fantasy football. And how upset do you get when certain guys don't produce for you? because you have something riding on it. How upset?
To the point where I'm dropping guys just because I can't take it anymore.
But I'm saying, if you have thousands riding on a game, and somebody doesn't come through a couple times, bases loaded, popped up, struck out, something like that, what's your reaction as the manager going to be? Because you bet to win. And in betting to win, you don't have any control over what's going on. Just like when if you were to put Darren McFadden on your fantasy team this week and suddenly he doesn't produce because the Dallas Cowboys fall behind 28-0 and abandon the running game, what are you going to do? You have no control over it. And even as the manager who might have more control, he can make a move here, make a move there, whatever, still doesn't have any control over it. You can't control that the bases are loaded and two outs and Mark Teixeira strikes out. I felt pretty good about sending Teixeira to the plate. And that's the, you fantasy players out there, to a much tinier degree, can now understand that mindset a bit. And those of you who put together the NCAA tournament bracket, I can't believe Wichita State messed me up. You're watching games coming down to the final minute. Come on, hit the shot. And you're only in a $5 pool. You're not putting $5,000 down, $50,000 down, whatever that's what you're putting down. Look how that affects your emotions as to what you're doing. Now imagine the position he's in. Here's the other part. Rose also bet on other games. Okay. With Genosa says that he would be sitting there and Pete would be on the phone. Now remember, there was no interleague play. He'd be on the phone with an American League manager. Hey, how's it going? Hey, what about it? Not going well right now. We're not going to play him tonight. Oh, we're not going to. Oh, geez. Hey, it's too bad. Hey, tell him I said hi.
In stocks, but that would be insider trading.
Exactly. Exactly. Do you see all the levels to this? There's just so many levels to it that it's not just simply, I bet on my team to win. What's wrong with that? He'll try harder. That's not how it works.
See, when all this first started, I had that same view. Well, if he bet on his team, there's actually motivation to win. But, right. The one thing that I didn't think about, besides everything that you're talking about there, is something we talked about on Monday, first and foremost. What happens when he ends up spending a ton of money and can't pay the debt, and they call it? And then it's like, all right, we need a favor.
And it's the wrong people.
Yeah, they're not coming. They're not coming to foreclose on your house.
A little deeper in the chain. In other words, people that they used to request Joe Pesci to play in movies.
It's a true story, Joe. Why don't you play this role? Okay. That's what this is all about. That's why when it comes to the Hall of Fame, I mean, this isn't one of those moralistic plays here. It's not. You know, I mean, look, there are guys that they drank, womanized, all sorts of things. Okay, fine. But what did that have to do with the game? There are guys that committed crimes outside of the game. What did that have to do with the actual game? Betting on the games? Okay, that has something to do with the game. PED use, that has something to do with the game. We received a thoughtful email yesterday on this subject. After it was done, like, skewering you, we'll get to that part.
I missed that portion of it. Sorry.
That part about you is brutal. Ooh, brutal. Yeah. I defended you.
Oh, great. Thanks.
I said, I don't know who that is. Who is that? Where is the letter here? Where's the email? It is. Oh, there it is. And it's about drug use and PED use. And it's from Steve. Why does the amphetamine generation get a complete pass when the PED discussion is going and the Hall of Fame? Are they not PEDs? And they were as illegal during that time as steroids were and commonly used and talked about. But the whole generation not only gets a pass, but actually criticizes the steroid user. A few Hall of Famers, Mike Schmidt and I believe Bob Gibson, have gone on record as saying that they could not say for sure that they would not have used them had they been available then. Steve, here's the big difference between that and discussing the Hall of Fame. There actually is a difference. And that is, there was no drug testing policy in there, so you have no idea who was using it and who wasn't. Because there's no drug testing policy, you can't just sit there and make an assumption about somebody. You can't. You can't assume. With a drug testing policy that now tells you, yep, yes, no, yes, no, 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 yes. With that drug testing policy now in place, you know. Now, a guy that has no shot at getting into the Hall of Fame is Doc Ellis. He threw a no-hitter against the Padres. He walked 8 guys. I think he even hit a guy. And it's always been the running joke that he pitched the game on LSD. Now, he claims he didn't do it. I mean, who knows? I don't know what the truth is there. But that's what happens. You talk about the amphetamine generation. Okay, label me which players took amphetamines that are in the Hall of Fame. Which ones are in that are in the Hall of Fame? There may be 100, but can you name them? You don't know. They weren't tested. If you're not tested and you can't say, you just can't assume. And that's the problem with this. I think it's a very, very thoughtful point. Very thoughtful. But common sense has to take over. And common sense says, if I'm sitting there, I can't just guess that X, you know, I think he was an amphetamine user. Well, you can't think it. You either have to know it or you don't. If you don't know, you have to give it a pass. You can't make assumptions. And again, Steve, you may be right. There could be 100 guys in the Hall of Fame right now that were amphetamine users. The problem is, tell me which 100 they are. Give me 5 names. Give me 2. And it can't start with, I think. For example, Gaylord Perry's in the Hall of Fame. Well, we don't have to think he doctored baseballs. He now says he did. We don't have to think it.
We don't have to think that Sammy Sosa corked his bat. The bat broke. We saw everything go all over the field. Same thing with Greg Nettles. Proof is a different burden than guessing. That is why I was so critical of the Wells report when it came to Tom Brady. Where's the proof? Where's the evidence? That report is a we think, kinda, sorta. You don't go in and convict somebody on kinda, sorta. You've got to have proof. Now let's get to Pete Rose. Rose is out of baseball on the permanent ban list because they've got the betting slips. They've got the phone records. And they've got the witnesses to back up the betting slips and the phone records. So between testimony and physical proof, they have what they needed. He's banned. He broke Rule 21. They could not ban him for betting as a player, even though Dowd suspected it, because they didn't have the solid proof, which he points out in his report. Now, they have found the solid proof to back that part of it up. Now, it doesn't matter. It doesn't change a blessed thing at all. But that, when you're talking about something like this, PED use, for example, we don't have to think about Alex Rodriguez. We have proof. He failed tests. Now, it's a different scrutiny and a different burden of proof today as opposed to 30, 40 years ago, but that's the difference. You can't guess. I'm telling you, a lot of players were on amphetamines back then. Okay, well, which ones? Okay, and how do you know? Where's the proof? And I don't want just an accusation from somebody. You got to have some proof to back it up. And that's the big, big difference in this. That's why today, with Rose, there was proof. Okay? With Ted Wells, okay, it's throwing darts on a windy day. Alex Rodriguez, no need. Got the proof. And that's the difference. You know, that's the difference. You know, there are accusations about a wide variety of things, but if you don't have the proof, it just has to remain as an accusation. There are so many accusations about Kevin that I can't prove yet. We'll come back with more in a moment on News Radio 1070 WKOK.
Kevin Love, during the finals, I'm staying with the Cavaliers. Today, opted out. Bob and Muncie, how are you, Bob? Thanks for waiting. It's great to hear from you.
Hey, Steve. Really enjoy the show, and I like your sidekick there, too. I think the drug business is getting complicated with this Hall of Fame thing. I'm wondering about the players who would have been on amphetamines back before they were declared to be illegal. I mean, there's a long stretch of time that's involved there too. I'd like to see Pete Rose in the Hall of Fame. I'm not real overwhelmed with his gambling problem. I don't think he was the smartest person in the world, but he sure put out on the ball field.
He absolutely did, and that's why, Bob, I think I felt that before this evidence came out about him betting as a player, I was willing to pull what I call a John Wooden. John Wooden is in the Naismith Basketball Hall of Fame as a player for his All-America career at Purdue. He was later then put back in the Hall of Fame as a coach. So I thought, well, okay, maybe I can separate Pete Rose, the player, from Pete Rose, the manager, and put him in. But now that there's evidence that he bet as a player, I would not be able to vote for that. The hall is a museum. I would have a huge display in the museum celebrating his career, his hits, things like that. But when it comes to a plaque in the other wing of the hall, I wouldn't do it.
Well, see, I don't get hung up on the honor part of the Hall of Fame. I think there's too many people who are already in the Hall of Fame who aren't there for the honor part. They're there for their stats, you know.
And that's true. I agree with that, Bob. Except yeah. Gambling is different. Gambling on the game is a different deal. If he had only gambled on football and basketball and horse racing, I could care less. But when you actually start betting on the games you're playing in,
well,
that's way over the
line. He never bet not to win, according to everything I've seen. Never bet against his team, ever.
But Bob, I pointed out how bad that is. Okay? I mean, that's bad. Okay? That's really bad. That's not as bad as betting to lose, but guess what? He was $400,000 in debt when he was removed from baseball. When you're $400,000 in debt to, right? When you're $400,000 in debt to the wrong people, Bob, guess what? They can come up to you and say, "Do you want to make it even? You're not winning tonight."
Well, that didn't happen, though. That part hasn't been proven. So, see, I don't get hung up on that stuff. Thank you. Thank you very much.
Thanks,
anyway.
Bob.
Okay.
Thanks, Bob.
Bye, bye.
We agree to disagree on that. To me, you can't do it. This, again, betting on your team to win has dramatic consequences across the board. Misuse of players, okay? Affecting careers, blowing arms out because you need to win that night. There's all sorts of consequences when you do that. You have no idea how careers may have been shortened because he misused players. That's something we don't know, but we can guess.